I'm so glad that you stuck around to come to a 2 o'clock Saturday session. This being the last day of the workshop, it's a tiring time. We've had a lot over the week, a lot of stuff that we've been fed over the week, and it's been wonderful stuff. Some of the classes that I've gotten to attend are just great. A part of my soul is downstairs with Richard Beck in the big auditorium. Richard is a dear friend and colleague and my Sunday school teacher, so I know I'm going to get to hear him on Sunday when I get back to Abilene. For those of you who weren't here yesterday, I'm Sally Gary. I live in Abilene, Texas, and I direct a ministry called Centerpiece that is helping to provide safe places for men and women who experience same-sex attraction. I have the privilege of talking with folks around the globe who experience same-sex attraction, some of whom view that as a struggle, some of whom view it as just who they are and identify as gay or lesbian, but are looking for deeper relationship with God. And that's my main purpose, I believe, is to help us find ways that we can reconnect with God and have the relationship with Him that He intended all along, and then see where He wants to lead us from there to change all sorts of things in our lives that maybe we're not even aware of yet. I want to show you some of the materials that we have available. You already have a couple of things on your seat in front of you. One is just a general informational piece about Centerpiece. All of our contact information is on the back. That's my personal cell phone number. If you call that number, I'm going to say, "This is Sally," and nobody else is going to answer that phone. So if we talk about something today that you have a question about and you want to ask, feel free to call that. And you can leave me a message and nobody else is going to intercept it and send your name out on some big mailing list somewhere. I would also encourage you to visit our Facebook page. For those of you under the age of 40, get on Facebook and like our page. That's a great way that we can spread the word and let people know that there is a ministry out there that is about helping us develop deeper relationship with the Lord. Lots of things going on, and since I'm technologically illiterate and I can't always upgrade the website like I'd like, I can put things on Facebook. So if you want to know what is going on, keep in touch there. I do Twitter when I think about it. I can't. I'm of the generation that who cares what restaurant I'm eating at the moment. Amen. But I do understand that that's interesting to a lot of folks, as crazy as it sounds. So I'm trying to be better about that. An event that's coming up that I'm really excited about, if you are in the area of North Texas, Southern Oklahoma, or elsewhere and just really want to come, we're launching a new event for parents called Gender Matters. This is going to be at my home church where I grew up, at 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. This will be an event to help parents understand how healthy gender identity develops in our children. It's something we have not talked about at all. It's something that we have not addressed. We've just kind of had the idea that little boys and little girls pop out knowing how to be little boys and little girls. And the truth is that we learn a lot about what it means to be feminine or masculine. A lot of our gender comes from culture. In fact, much of it comes from culture. And so we're going to talk about ways that we can help our sons and daughters feel good about who God made them to be, who He created us to be. And that's an exciting thing that I'm really looking forward to. Another thing that's exciting that's coming up is this little card. On good days, I clean up fairly well, and we've got a book coming out in May. I'm excited about that. It is a book that's simply stories about my growing up, about my experiences with family, with friends, in school, from a variety of places. Because the truth is, a multitude of factors impacted the development of my sexuality, the development of my picture of self out of which my sexuality grew. All of those things contributed, and we haven't even begun to explore all the things that go into creating a mindset that may experience same-sex attraction. And so this is just a book of stories. It's not a book about what to think about homosexuality. It's not a book about how to fix someone who experiences same-sex attraction. It's just a book about a little girl who grew up in our brotherhood and experienced same-sex attraction right in our pews. I titled it this because I want my brothers and sisters who have felt so ostracized from church, who have felt so alone and disconnected from God because they experienced those feelings of attraction toward their own gender, maybe because family disowned them, or maybe because church said, we need you to go somewhere else until you get this fixed. I want them to know there's a safe place to come home. That it happens to the very sweetest of us right in our pews. It's not something that is out on the streets that happens to people who have walked away from God. It happens to those of us right in our Sunday school classes. So I hope you'll enjoy that. That will be on online. It'll be available on Amazon and for Nook, Kindle, stuff like that. The middle of May, we'll launch it at the Pepperdine Lectures, but then it'll be available the middle of May. And then in June, I think it will be in bookstores. I'm very thrilled today that my photographer at the back is not just my photographer, but she's also my editor. And I want you to know that this book would not have happened without her help, because I just sent her a jumble of stories. And she sifted through all of that prayerfully, faithfully. It took days and weeks and lots of patience to work with me. So, Lissa, thank you very, very much for your help. There is another card back at the back. Well, there's also a business card up here at the front. And if you want just something to stick in your wallet that's a little bit more convenient to get in touch with me, you can do that. We've got some cards up here at the front. If you would like to be added to our mailing list to keep in closer contact with what we do, for instance, these big Gender Matter cards were sent out as an invitation. We don't send a lot of junk mail like that, not that that's junk, but I don't send that a lot, but it will also add you to our email database, and I do a monthly email newsletter, so you can get on that. Those are up here at the front. Feel free to get one and fill that out. We've got a couple of other events that we do. This is a Peacemaker event primarily for church leaders, but we're expanding that to families, and we're offering that in San Antonio, June 1st and 2nd at the Northside Church of Christ. That's going to be a great time. Lynn Anderson is preaching on that Sunday, and we'll have other experts that are there in family studies, working with families who have a son or daughter who is gay or lesbian or is struggling with same-sex attraction. We'll have someone there who can speak directly to that. That's going to be a good event. This is an old title for a new event that I'm still very excited about. We've done three what we've called Camp David in the past. It's a spiritual retreat. We begin with a 3 or 4 day weekend retreat for men and women who experience same-sex attraction. We've had folks as young as 18. We've had someone as old as 63. A woman who had been in the church all her life, who was married and actively involved in the work of the church, but had never had a place where she felt safe to say, this is my struggle. And so at the age of 63, she signed up for this weekend retreat and made friends, and became involved in a small, intimate community. There were about 20 of us there. And for the next year, we formed a secret Facebook group, and we communicated through that. We communicated over the phone. And we went through a curriculum that we've developed for spiritual formation, for growing deeper in our relationship with God. It was not about fixing homosexuality. It was about developing closer relationship with the Lord and seeing, what does it look like for me to live a life of holiness if this is a struggle that the Lord never removes from my life? What does it look like for me to do that? That has been one of the greatest blessings of my life. And I could tell you stories all day about the sense of family and the sense of connection that that has created for men and women all over the globe. You see, that's what this is about. And that's what this ministry of Centerpiece is about. It's based on the truth that Jesus invites us all to the table. We get to come to the table no matter what our junk is, no matter what kind of mess I might be in at the time. I still get to come to the table and experience Him there. And I experience Him through you, most importantly, through interaction with you. If I'm deprived of that, if I have to go away and get myself all straightened out before I get to come back, how will I ever truly get a picture of Jesus? We live in a world that is starved for intimacy. Why? Because God designed us to be in intimate relationships. He designed us to be connected to each other. That's the way God made us. And there are lots of things that can enter into this picture of self out of which grows our inability to form healthy, holy relationships in lots of ways. Not just homosexual, but heterosexual relationships that aren't healthy either. But it's because we're starved for this. We live in an age of Facebook and social media that says just connect with people online, and it can keep us connected in some really sweet ways. I get to keep up with my friends from grade school. That's sweet, but it's never going to replace what you and I are doing right now, but more importantly, what I did with sweet friends last night across the table. The interaction that takes place face-to-face when you live in community with each other. And the more we think that this is going to do that, the more the enemy lies to us to say, you don't need the other. And the more we're deprived of the other, the more starved we are. And when you've been on the desert for years and years and years and years, a lifetime of believing, I'm not good enough to be in relationship, no one wants me in relationship, who would desire being in relationship with me? Guess what happens? You get so hungry, you'll go after anything. It's what happens to a lot of us. It's not just the same-sex struggle. But those feelings of not feeling wanted, of not feeling loved and apart and connected, are at the very root of this struggle in ways that they're at the root of lots of struggles. That's what we need to understand about this struggle with same-sex attraction. Because we haven't talked about this, because we don't really understand what's at the root of same-sex attraction, it scares us bodily to death. When someone says, I need to tell you something about myself. When you hear those words from a loved one, from a family member, when a minister, when an elder hears from a church member, I'm gay, that's just who I am. What do you do with that? You see, that's a fearful thing. That's a hard thing. Because we haven't talked about it, we don't know how to respond. And I think we don't know how to respond because of our fears. It's a very cyclical thing. And so I want you to take just a moment right now. You've got a little card there in front of you. Don't put your name on that. But take that card and write down what you think your biggest fear is around this issue. What are you afraid of? Not what the church is afraid of. What are you afraid of in talking about this?
Sorry, I'm going to clamp back close things. That's okay. You may bring me a chair. Look here.
While you're finishing that thought, I'm a talker, so I can't be quiet for very long. I'm very curious in what you're going to get to talk about. I want to tell you about two books. First one is a book by Wesley Hill, and you can find all of this on our Facebook page. I'm doing a review on our blog right now, the Centerpiece blog. But it's a book called Washed and Waiting, Reflections on Christian Faithfulness and Homosexuality. It's a young man who's working on a doctoral degree. I think he may have finished by now. But who identifies as a gay Christian and yet believes that he is called to a life of celibacy. And so it's a very interesting read. Very sweet stories from this young man and his growing up. I relate to him very much. And certainly admire his faithfulness, his desire to live a life that's pleasing to God. What he writes about the loneliness of this struggle is powerful. That was our last review on the blog, and you can read more about it there. There's another book that I want to make you aware of that is becoming more and more popular, especially through a younger audience. The director of the Gay Christian Network is Justin Lee. And Justin wrote this book called Torn, which is the story of his life, of his growing up. And I, too, relate to Justin, except that Justin believes that to identify as a gay Christian, to live in a same-sex romantic relationship, is not against God's will for his life. And so that is the path that he has chosen, that it's okay for him to be a follower of Christ and to live in a committed same-sex relationship. There are some very compelling arguments that Justin poses. There are some compelling stories that Justin tells. There are some truths that we can learn as God's people from Justin's book. And so whether or not we agree with where Justin comes out, I think it is a book that we must be aware of because your kids are reading this book. Many are reading this book, and we need to know what other ways there are to look at this particular issue. If we're to have any voice of credibility in the world, we have to know what's being said. So we'll be doing a review of this book on the Centerpiece blog in the next month. And I would encourage you to get on there and participate in that conversation and to ask questions. And let's just have some open dialogue about both of those books. Take just a moment and turn to your neighbors, maybe two or three of you. If you're not sitting anywhere near someone, that means you'll have to move. Find someone to talk to and share Share your fear with each other right quick. Hi there.
This wasn't just for women, huh?
Oh, certainly not.
I'm fashionably late, so I'm sorry.
Oh, no. No, come in.
It wasn't a women's thing. So.
Oh, no.
Well, you'll be here till the better part of the rest of this hour?
Oh, yes. Yes,
okay.
I'll be here till 3.
Afterwards.
That'd be fantastic.
You don't
welcome.
Mind me coming in late, huh?
Oh, no, no, no. Come join a group. We're talking about what we're afraid of, you know, around this issue. I had them write down, and I'll get you some information over here. You can get some afterward. But we're talking about what our fears are about talking about anything to do with homosexuality.
With sodomy and all, yeah. Well, I don't know that I'm afraid of it. It's just the elephant in the room, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. And I guess
can I be more sick of it than I am afraid of it?
Mm.
Bless your heart. Appreciate you teaching on this issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, well, it's really infected our churches and our schools.
Yeah. It has for a long time.
Yeah.
And we just haven't talked about it. So I'm glad you're here.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just go over there and join
just
us.
Make yourself at home. Tell me your name again.
Greg Perry.
Greg.
B-E-R-R-Y. You're Sally Gary.
Yes, I
yeah.
am.
And
yeah.
You write books on this?
I've got a book coming out in May, so that'll be my first one. We'll see how it does. Good to meet you too, Greg.
Visited more.
Yeah, we should have.
One of the prison has been one of my standbys.
Uh-huh.
When people claim you can't choose this or can't help it, I say there'd be no gay sex in prison. That was true. People couldn't flake it on and flake it off. And you have to be careful about how deeply you go into it. You know, but it's actually to have people engaging in prison that were straight before they went in. When they get out, they don't go to gay bars. They go right back to the way they lived before. And so I've asked people, I said, if you can flake it on and flake it off, how could it be a way that you're born that you can't help being? You know, kind of funny. But I would love to hear that said, you know, arguments like that said on TV.
Well,
we don't hear that on TV.
Get the tape from yesterday, because I talked a lot about the fact that this is not a choice. It was certainly not a choice for me to have those feelings. I don't believe I was born that way. I don't believe God created me that way. But there were so many things that entered into my experiences growing up as a little girl. And I shared my story yesterday. So if you want to get that first part.
Never going away?
No. No. Have there been moments where that struggle has been less? Sure. But it's just like my struggle with my temper, you know. Boy, you get me on the road. Somebody cuts me off. And I struggle with getting angry about that. There are lots of ways that I may struggle. I may struggle with selfishness for the rest of my life. It's not who God calls me to be, but He also hasn't removed that completely. Same-sex attraction is the same thing. Now, what you're talking about is a different scenario. And so that's why this is so hard, because even with selfishness, we can't look at someone who says, okay, I really struggle with that. I really struggle with jealousy or gossip or pride, and say that, okay, these specific things led you to struggle with that. It's not the same for every person. There are no cookie cutter answers. And so this is the same thing. It's hard for us to understand that because we simply haven't talked about it. And that's why conversations like this are so important. I explain a lot of this.
I'm real sorry. I missed yesterday.
Well, I'm glad you're here today. Let me give you that. I talk a lot about my experience as a little girl growing up in the Church of Christ. That we don't think, oh, well, you have to just be completely sick and depraved and have fallen off the deep end before you could experience feelings for your own gender. That was not my experience at all.
Yeah, no, I imagine that's pretty
and, part of life. Yeah. And most people that I talk to, that's their experience too. But I love your heart that's willing to come and say, maybe there's another way to look at this.
Absolutely. You know, Oprah asked Michael Jackson's wife, did you guys actually have sex? Well, like those are dumb questions. So did Rock Hudson's widow.
Sure. Sexuality is on a continuum. Yeah.
They love the fact that they can get people to go one way, but there's got to be a road going back.
Yeah.
If it'll go one way, the fact that if we spend a lot of time our shot back, it would go out the window. Now, is there a reverse to that? It's not one way, right?
All things are possible with God.
Well, good answer, yeah.
All things.
But like the Roman-Greek lifestyle, the same principle would apply to removing yourself from that.
Sure. Yeah. It's possible that I can become a patient person all the time. That's possible. Now, is it likely? We'll visit more. We'll visit more. Okay. I'm very selfish when it comes to conversation. I'm an only child. I can't stand these conversations going on, and I don't get to be a part of every one of them. So tell me, who'll be brave enough, courageous enough to tell me what's the number one fear? Maybe from your group, from each group. Maybe it's not your fear, but it's a fear that you talked about. What are those fears? Yes, sir.
I owned a company for almost 30 years, and an employee came in one day, and I was real vocal about my Christianity. And I'm sorry I'm late. I'm the speaker for the next hour, and I'm early for my group anyway.
We'll move out quickly.
One of my employees came in one day, and he was shaking, and he wanted to talk to the door, and he said, "I've been hiding from you. I'm a homosexual." "Dear, I want you to know God loves people who think they're homosexual, but He does hate the practice of homosexuality. And you know, I can't have 20 women, and God said you can't do that and go to heaven. So I want you to know I love you, and I'm going to pray for you that you'll leave that lifestyle and witness to others." And he started crying. He said, "You're not going to fire me?" I said, "No, that'd be illegal." My fear is that it's hard to communicate that I love them in spite of their weakness, but I try to tell them God loves me in spite of my weakness too.
Yeah.
That's my fear. I have a fear that I can't communicate the love well enough to overcome the fact that I have to disagree biblically with this lifestyle.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's such an honest response. Thank you. That the fear is that we're not going to be able to communicate the love of Jesus first and foremost. That we're inadequate sometimes when it comes to being able to express that love. And what encourages me most about that answer is that that's our number one desire. That's our desire, first and foremost, is to show the love of Jesus, to be Christ. Just like he met the woman at the well, just like he invited Zacchaeus down out of the tree, just like he responded to the woman caught in adultery. And in those instances, in every instance that I see Jesus interacting with people who are on the fringe, I see the love most clearly. I see the love first and foremost. I wonder how many people traveling along with Jesus saw that little guy up in the tree. I wonder how many others really took notice of him and then said, not only am I going to just pat you on the back and wish you well in this moment, I'm going to go to your house. Is there any greater expression of love than to say, I want to come spend time with you? Not, I need to tell you where I stand on this. I need to let you know right up front that I don't agree with what you're doing. That was not Jesus' response. We say, but when they brought the woman caught in adultery and threw her at his feet, he did tell her eventually, go and sin no more. Eventually. There was love shown. There was radical love. Radical hospitality that my friend Richard is talking about downstairs that meets people where they are when it's messy. And we don't know how long it's going to take. We don't know how long we're going to have to spend at Zacchaeus' house before Zacchaeus gets that I can't keep doing people this way. I can't keep taking money from people that's not mine to take. But he came to that after Jesus spent time with him. Yeah. You bet.
Part of my problem is with other homosexual people, I don't have a relationship, so they don't really care what I have to say. We have to make friends before they listen to us.
That's right. So we'll make friends right now, and I'll listen to what you have to say. Because you see, you're my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I do care about what you think, but I don't listen until I know how much you love me. The people who speak the deepest truth into my life are the people who have never walked away from me. Not ever. No matter what I've come home and told them. No matter what I did. No matter who I was with. They loved me right where I was. That made all the difference in my life in terms of bringing me full circle and back into relationship with God where I wanted to be all along. What else are we afraid of?
Shelley, my sense is that you've well come past where my fear is in this. And I didn't even know about Justin's book until you were talking about it while I was writing down. But from what I understood of what you said about his book, as a church leader, my fear is Justin's right. And I'm applying the gospel as I'm reading it, and because it's not a problem that I've dealt with, I haven't done the study that Justin has, that he's right, and I've been misapplying.
Wow. That touches me deeply, that your number one fear would be, as a church leader, that maybe we need to re-examine this. Maybe we've got this wrong, because that is a heart of humility and openness that wants to sit down at the table. And oh my goodness, what other response is as inviting to sit down and explore what God wants for us than that kind of heart? That's the heart that I want my shepherds to have, that I believe my shepherds at the Highland Church in Abilene do have, to say, let's explore this together. Maybe there are some things we've missed about this. Maybe there's another way to approach this. Maybe there's another way to respond. That doesn't mean that it lessens our desire to live as God calls us to at all. That means we want to seek it so closely and so clearly that we're going to re-examine and constantly re-examine until Jesus comes to get us. That's that's a heart that I want to be associated with. I think that is a great fear, is that if we ask those questions, if we look at this a little more deeply, if we look at it again, if we listen to another perspective, another point of view, that we will be swayed and just go completely over the edge and walk away from God. But what if we committed to do that together as the body of Christ? I will tell you that in those times in my life when I have had doubts, when I have feared, when I have been at such a place of misery and feeling all alone in this and wondering, maybe this isn't so wrong after all. It's being able to have a group of people that surrounded me that I was safe in saying, you're going to reconnect me to Jesus no matter what. Your desire for me more than anything else is to point me to Christ. I was safe in that group of people. I will tell you right now that there's a chapter in the book that's coming out about my many, many conversations with that group of people, people who walk with me on a daily basis. And I pray that you will be that group of people in someone else's life. And I pray that there'll be a group of people for you in your lives as you journey who will be willing to listen and to explore and to learn more and to say, maybe there's something I don't quite get about this yet. That's how we advance and grow. That's how we've historically advanced and grown in every area, is being willing to stay open to the possibility of new ideas. And if we pray earnestly, if we stay on our knees and stay connected to God, to say, show us, Lord, what that's supposed to look like. That is my constant prayer, because I don't have all the answers, and I don't know of any of us who has all the answers. But my prayer is that God will continuously show us what that's supposed to look like. I love that fear. Thank you. We could talk about our fears all day, and part of me would just rather do that and hear from you. One more. Let's hear it.
The unforgivable sin.
Yeah.
You don't tell them that.
Yeah.
Tell them, my son, my daughter, I have. You don't tell them that because it's not safe.
Yeah.
And you will be disfellowshipped or cast aside or just kind of shut up. Not really asked to leave, but you're not really welcome.
Yeah. And even if that first telling goes well, the fear is, what will you do with me the next time I see you? Will the lunches be the same? Will the telephone calls be as frequent? Will you still come and sit next to me in the pew? I know.
I struggle with drugs, I couldn't fix that. I struggle with sex, didn't fix that. I struggle with alcohol, didn't fix that. I struggle with overeating, didn't fix that. Oh, but homosexuality?
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe Jesus would sit down and eat.
I believe he would too. He has eaten many a meal with me. And he will. He will with you too.
He's with me, Jackie the sinner. He eats with me.
Yeah.
No matter what my sin is.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a beautiful scene in the movie Lars and the Real Girl. You may not be familiar. It was a rather obscure movie that came out a few years ago. Kind of odd. If you want an odd movie to keep you entertained over the weekend, I would encourage you to rent Lars and the Real Girl. It'll make some of us downright uncomfortable. The scene I'm about to show will make some of us downright uncomfortable. And yet, what would it look like for a community to surround someone who didn't quite have the relationship that we wanted for them? What would it look like to invite someone into our midst who didn't quite fit the mold just yet? Because you see, the only way we get to a place where we fit the mold is by being included in the community, by finding a place for connection, for filling that need for intimacy in our lives. Lars and the Real Girl is about a young man played by Ryan Gosling, a beautiful job that Ryan did, playing this guy who is so painfully shy. He is so socially awkward and introverted that it is painful to watch him. He literally cannot stand to be physically touched. He doesn't know how to interact with people at work. He doesn't have the slightest idea of what to do with this girl who obviously likes him at work. He won't even go across the yard to his brother and sister-in-law's house when she begs him to come for dinner. He just can't do it because the social situation is so painful to him that he can't do that. And yet there's something inside him, because God made us to be in relationship, that he is starved for that. He's starved for that interaction and that deep, deep need to be wanted, to be desired, to be loved and connect with another human being, not just sexually, emotionally, spiritually. So Lars overhears a man at work ordering a blow-up doll off of the internet, and Lars decides to do the same thing. Not for the sexual perversion, but for the simple fact of having somebody with you who wants you, even if it's not real, even if it's just pretend. Oh, how I relate to that. Lars brings this girl home. He brings her to dinner at his brother's house. The brother and sister-in-law have no idea what to do, and so where do they go? They go to church because they're faithful members of their church. Lars goes to church because Lars is a good boy. And they ask their brothers and sisters, could you help us out here, because he wants to bring this girl to church? What would your church do? Maybe it looks a little bit like this.
These young people have no willpower.
He's sick.
All right, he's sick.
We were just hoping if we came to you, you could help, you know, just pave the way a little.
Thank you.
Why were you here?
Oh, for heaven's sake, what's the big deal? Sally, you're cutting some dresses on me. Your nephew gave all his money to a UFO club. Apparently everybody knows your first wife was a cutter.
She wasn't.
I'm very prepared my room.
That's enough.
These things happen. Why is it a good boy?
I'll bring you to church now. What? The question is, as always, what would Jesus do?
Thank you.
This is my friend, Mrs. Gruner.
She's a darling. What would happen at your church? There'd be some people like the woman who gave Bianca the flowers that get it. There'd be others who would not want anything to do with it. Because to simply acknowledge the presence of another human being would be to enable him to have a wrong relationship. But let me tell you what happens at the end of the movie. I'm going to spoil it for you. After this community gathers around Lars and they embrace this mannequin that he's brought as his girlfriend, after they allow him to experience, although it's completely distorted, although it's not at all what God intended for him, he is learning how to be in relationship, in this wrong relationship. And he's equipping himself, God is equipping him to form an intimacy with another human being for the first time in his life. And there are reasons you learn in the movie that Lars doesn't know how to be in an intimate relationship. That's something that many of us can relate to. But by the end of the movie, after he's had opportunity to experience that and he's felt safe to bring her into this community that has loved and embraced not just him but her as well, guess what happens? He's able to realize that, wow, this feels really good. This is really sweet. And maybe it would be possible for me to have this for real. And so Bianca develops some dread disease and Bianca dies. And he is able to let go of what was not real so that he can venture in to something that is. Folks, I can tell you that I am a living, breathing example of that reality. It was only because a community of people surrounded me and said, "We'll walk with you, Sally. We'll love you, Sally, whether you ever get to where Lars is or not." That's what brings us to our knees. And back to God, and back to a picture of self that is whole, that's real, and enables us to have what God intended for us all along. Don't you want the people around you that you love to have that same experience? I do. That's why I can't keep my mouth shut about what God continues to work in my life. How can you be a safe place to do that? There are lots of ways, but I think the number one way is to deal with your own fears, to really give those fears up to God and ask God to show you where are the ways that we need to re-explore this. Where are the ways that we need to think about this differently? To change our thinking, to change our language, to think about the things we say. When we allow our students to say, "Well, that's so gay," those are hurtful things to say. When we talk about those people and those homosexuals, even when we're trying to say, "So, well, those homosexuals just need to know they can change," those people full of arrogance need to know that they can change as well. We need to think about the ways that we really engage with people. And I think if there's anything that we leave here today, it would be this word of listening. Of listening before we feel so compelled to share what we believe. That's hard for me as a talker and as a teacher.
And I want so desperately sometimes when I'm in Walmart and I see two women in front of me with a basket and kids, and I know precisely where they are, and I know what the Lord's done in my life, and I want them to have what I have so badly, that you want to say, you know, it's not appropriate, it's not time, because it has to come out of relationship. The most important thing you can do for someone is to listen, to make yourself vulnerable, to share your own struggles, to let people know all of our struggles are the same, and there's not one that's any worse than any other. And to finally model what Jesus does for us. We could go on and on and on. That's why we do whole weekend events. And if you'd like to talk about doing something like that at your home church, I'd love to visit with you about that too. I hope you'll stay in contact with me. Blessings on you as you go home and meet people where they are. In the name of Jesus, thanks for being here today.